Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Continuing our examination of 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, the text about the church, and a very helpful understanding of what the Bible is talking about when it is talking about the church. And it helps clear up so much of the confusion that I find in the minds of many people today. And so for that reason, we are examining it very slowly and carefully and thoughtfully. And I appreciate your joining us on the Beacon Broadcast on this Monday, January 25. And here is our text, 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Now, we've already spent two or three broadcasts on this, and let me just summarize what we have learned so far by saying that Christians must be rightly related to the local church in order to be rightly related to God in your Christian conduct. It's as simple as that. God puts a premium upon the church, the local church, the visible church, the church that has pastors and deacons and identifiable members. And Paul is writing to that kind of church, and he says, "I'm writing this epistle so that you can know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." Now, we also need to have in our minds a good understanding of the church. In the house of God, which is the church of the living God. The house of God. The house of God. Not a building. We're not talking about the church building as the house of God. In Paul's day, as I think we've already mentioned, there were no church buildings. As far as we know, not a single one. Not a single church that we know of in the first century that had its own building. Churches had not developed to that point yet. They were not like synagogues that had synagogue buildings. They were not like pagan temples that had their various buildings. They just hadn't developed to that place yet, so they met in various places. Houses, more often than not, but schools and other buildings that were made available to them. They borrowed buildings, they rented buildings, they met where they were able. So Paul is not talking about a church building when he talks about the house of God. But this is the church of the living God. It is the house of God. And think about what that implies. The house of God. In other words, the place where God lives. That's right, the place where God lives, or God dwells. Now, obviously we bring our theology to bear upon this, and we realize that God cannot be contained in any one place. A local church is not the totality of where God dwells, nor is the universal church the totality of where God dwells, any more than the temple of Solomon was the totality of where God dwells. But read that Old Testament section and you will come to the conclusion that God dwelt there. Though Solomon in his prayer made it very clear that God could not be contained there. This house is not really the place of your dwelling, but it is a place, a special place, where you come to meet with your people. the tabernacle before the temple was exactly such a place. And now the scriptures are suggesting that the New Testament church is such a place, and as we see here, the emphasis here is primarily upon the local, visible church more than the universal, invisible church. Now, I don't have time to go back and repeat everything that we said last week, but I do repeat that in the New Testament there is not this great demarcation between local and universal, between visible and invisible. We've made a bigger demarcation in our thinking today than the New Testament Christians ever had in their day. And that is part of our problem. We've made the divide too great. But if you must divide the concepts and try to figure out which one Paul is talking about here, the context makes it clear that primarily what he has in mind here when he talks about the house of God, the church of the living God, he's talking about churches like the church at Ephesus, where Timothy was ministering to bring that church into good spiritual condition, the church that selects qualified pastors and deacons and so forth and carries out the instructions that are given to us here in this pastoral epistle written to a man who was serving as a pastor and written to other pastors and to churches as well, but to pastors to help them know how to lead their churches to be Christ-honoring churches. We're talking about local churches, and local churches are a place where God dwells, God lives in a special manifestation of his presence. We read a little bit about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. We read, for example, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." You say, well, that's talking about the individual believer and his body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. Nope. This is talking about the local church. Go back and read the context, and you'll find out that that's exactly what is in mind there. Just read it in its context and think about it. Now, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, we do have the other truth, the one that our physical body of Christians is the temple of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. That's 1 Corinthians 6:19. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So both of these things are true. The body of the believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and God dwells in me as an individual Christian. But there is this other truth which must not be forgotten, and sometimes it does seem to get shuffled out of sight, but this other truth that the local church is the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells there. And again, we don't want to make too big a demarcation between the local church and the universal church. We could say accurately that both are the house of God, the temple of the living God. What do we read in 2 Corinthians 6:16? It says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He's not talking here about one individual being the temple of God. He's talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, made up of many individual believers, being the temple of God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Let me turn to another text here. I want to consider several of these texts. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." Christ as a son over his own house. That would be talking about the church, and I think the emphasis there would be upon the church universal. But again, the idea that the church is the house of God, or in this case, the house of Christ, and therefore Christ lives in the church in a special way. Hebrews 12:22-23. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Well, here again, the church, this time again with the emphasis primarily upon the church universal, though not that great demarcation that we want to make in our day, but still this idea of God dwelling in his house, that is, his temple, that is, his people, that is, his church, in a special way. 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You, as living stones, each individual Christian, a stone, and you are living stones, and collectively, you are built up a spiritual house. Collectively, you make up the house of God. And so, the house of God, the place where God operates, the place where God dwells, the place where God manifests his presence, the place where God meets with his people, the place where God especially works and blesses and empowers and does his work in the world, that place is the house of God. If I'm delayed, I write that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The house of God. And that is a reference, I repeat, to the local church at Ephesus, made up of the individual members of that church. The house of God, and then he goes on to call it the church of the living God. The church, the ecclesia, which means a called-out assembly, of the living God. The called-out assembly of the living God. The people who have been called out of darkness, out of the kingdom of Satan, out of their lost condition, out of their life of sin. The people who have been called out, and not only called out from, but called unto, pulled away from the world that they might be joined to Jesus Christ, and that is the church of the living God, made up of born-again believers, and again, the local, visible expression of that church is primarily what Paul has in mind in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm talking about the importance, the centrality of the church, the visible church, in God's operation in this world today. The church universal is really just the collection, the compilation of all the churches visible, all the true churches visible. Well, we'll come back again tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.